Let us pray. Gracious Father, we ask you to remove that veil that sometimes covers our face when we have doubts, when we can't seem to understand your word, when we're not sure what you want us to do. We pray for the light of Christ to shine on us and for your Holy Spirit to reveal to us all that you want us to do, that we may live an obedient life, receive your blessings, and live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to kind of work backwards today. So I'm going to start near the end of the second lesson, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, where it says, in their case. Well, whose case? The ones who are perishing, from verse 3. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So when people don't believe in Jesus, it's because the God of this world, and who is that? We call him Satan or the devil. Right? He's the one who's behind it, but of course we worship many gods, right, in our world. Okay? And however Satan gets a hold of us, he does not want us to know or love Jesus. So he's going to work in any way he can to prevent us from seeing the light of the glory of God in Christ Jesus. And so if we know from this scripture that unbelievers are under the influence of the devil and those spiritual forces, then the only way they can come to believe is if those spiritual forces are broken. Make sense? Okay. If what prevents you from talking when you want to is that duct tape somebody put over your mouth, what do we have to do? Remove the duct tape, then you can talk again, right? If the only thing that prevents you from hearing what is said is those earmuffs you have over your ears, then what do we have to do? Take away the earmuffs, right? Okay. So it's pretty simple. So if whatever prevents people from believing, that's where we need to put our efforts. Now, Paul says in this lesson, pretty much, remember Moses and the veil he had over his face. Okay? He put the veil over his face because he had been talking with God and his face shone, reflected the glory of God. And when he came down the mountain or out of the tent of meeting, his face would shine because he had been in God's presence. And as he revealed God's word to the people, his face would continue to shine. But when he was done with that, he would cover his face. He would veil his face. So the word of God was already out, and then he would cover his face as the shininess, the reflection would dim the longer he was away from God. But when he went back into the tent of meeting or back up on the mountain, depending on where they were, he would reflect again the glory of God, having been in his presence. And as he spoke the commands to the people, his face would shine. And when he was done, he'd put the veil back on. So with that in mind, Paul says that when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now, the analogy doesn't quite fit real well because, you see, the word of God had already been spoken by Moses. And then he put the veil on. So it's not that he had the veil on and he was speaking through a handkerchief or a cloth or a veil of some kind, and his words were muffled and not easily understood. No, it's not that literal kind of thing. Paul was simply using that veil as an analogy to say a veil is something that covers and hides something. And that veil that hides us from God is only taken away, removed, by Jesus. If you want to know God, you have to know Jesus. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. But now, see, here's the dilemma. If Satan's work in us has to be defeated in order for us to believe, then the Lord has to come first to make us believe, in order for the veil to be removed, in order for the work of Satan to be stopped, in order for us to have faith. So when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. But how am I going to turn to the Lord and believe if I still have the veil on? If the veil is still there, if I can't truly see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God? Well, it's not that I have to have the Lord already in me, it's that the Lord has to come. So we're not saying that you have to believe first in order for the veil to be removed. That's impossible, because you understand what I'm trying to get at? I don't feel like in my own head that I'm being very clear. All right, so the thing is, the Holy Spirit works on us. Jesus comes and works on us before we believe in order to help make us believe. Right? I mean, think about anybody's witness. You know, you might have a story. You know, when did you come to faith? When did you really get committed to Jesus? And you'll tell me stories about a good friend or a parent or a relative or a neighbor or somebody who just kept talking to you about Jesus. And finally you said, you know, I got to get serious about my faith. You know, and it's those conversations. And that's where Jesus was working on you, where the Holy Spirit was active through the words of the witness to you, no matter who it was. So Jesus comes to us and works on us through other people that we might hear his commands and his witness about his love and his forgiveness. And then finally, he breaks us down and defeats the work of the devil in us to bring us to faith. And the veil is removed. So we all know that. So I didn't just tell you anything you didn't already know, right? Everybody go like this, right? We knew that. So why did I tell you this? Well, there are sometimes, if we go to the gospel just for a minute, there are sometimes when we see somebody we know, somebody we believe in, Jesus, in a whole new way sometimes. As we mature and grow in our faith, we can see more of Jesus. As we read and study our scriptures, as we gather for fellowship and learning, as we gather to worship, there might be something said or done, or the Spirit might work in you from what you've been reading as well as what's happening this morning, and something might click for you. You ever have that happen? Or you read a scripture for the 20th or 30th time, and all of a sudden, I think I understand it now. You get to see something else that Jesus has shined his light on to reveal it to you. The veil is taken away because you are ready to receive that revelation. You're ready to understand that now. Or you have recognized your need, and Jesus responds to that need by revealing the truth for you in the scriptures. Whether it be something that you're reading or something shared by a friend or family member, or however God brings it to you, he's going to feed you that way. So Jesus and Peter and James and John, we don't know why he didn't take all his disciples. We don't know why he just took these three. Okay? Whether they were his favorites or his closest or the dumbest. Maybe the others were already convinced and these three needed a little bit more. We don't know. It doesn't say. So we can stop guessing about it. The thing is, Jesus went up with these three, and they get to see a vision with Jesus and Moses and Elijah. How did they know it was Moses? They don't know what Moses looked like. Did he have the two tablets stuck in his back pockets? You know, was he carrying them in his briefcase? And Elijah, you know, did he ride back down in his chariot of fire? No? How did they know it was Moses and Elijah? Maybe Jesus told them. Okay. But it was Moses and Elijah. And they get to see a part of Jesus that nobody else got to see. It could have made them proud. Ha ha, Jesus took us up. We got to see it. You didn't. Ha ha ha, we're special. But the problem is they weren't allowed to tell anybody. It's like the pastor who gets a hole in one on Sunday morning. Who's he going to tell? He's supposed to be in church. Okay. Called in sick and went to play golf. They couldn't tell anybody until after he was resurrected, because it's not until then that we truly understand or can understand who Jesus really is. Anytime that we can't understand what God is trying to tell us, it's because the devil's getting in the way or because we're getting in the way. You know, sometimes we don't need the devil's help. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of days I don't need the help of the devil. I can do it myself. Yes? Okay, I'm a sinner. Okay, Satan's a worse sinner than I am, but certainly I can do it myself. I don't need anybody's help. I can be selfish all by myself. Okay, now that you know that about me, you didn't know that last week, did you? So what do we do with all this? What do we do with the devil keeping us from seeing, from believing, from understanding? Our own sinfulness that gets in the way, and the fact that Jesus wants us to know. He wants to reveal himself completely to us and wants us to have that faith. If we have our own doubts, if we're not sure that we are as committed as we ought to be, then our prayers need to be for Jesus to come, for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. We need God's help. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot make ourselves understand. You can think and read and study and talk all you want to. If the devil's getting in the way and bringing this veil over your eyes so you can't see the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, you won't be able to understand. It's a spiritual warfare. You're not stupid. It's not that you're stupid that you can't understand this stuff. It's because the devil's getting in the way, or your own sinfulness doesn't want to learn. I had a fellow, one quick story. I had a fellow I worked with for, about a year or so. And we were painters in the maintenance department at the factory where I worked. And we worked together only on night shift for a couple of months, okay? Because we had to paint ceilings. So while they weren't working, we went in late and painted ceilings. And we talked a lot, and I shared with him the faith, and he became a believer. But one day he said, "I'm not sure I want to learn all this." I said, "Why not?" He said, "Well, because if I do, then I'll be held accountable for it." He got it right, didn't he? Huh? So sometimes we don't mind if we don't understand, because then we'll be accountable for it. But then, if that's our attitude, we're accountable for not wanting to understand the whole revelation of Jesus, all of God's law, the way of life that God brings us. So, he gets us either way, right? And I forget what my whole response to the fellow was, but you know, I said, "Well, sorry, that won't work." You know. So we take all the revelations we get from Jesus, no matter how few or many they might be. Whether we get a glimpse of the glory of God in a transfiguration kind of vision, or whether we just get the Word of God as we read and study together opened up for us, we know that we need God's help to understand. We need Jesus' power to stop the devil in his tracks. And because we have the Spirit living in us, God promises to always do that. And we have to give up saying, "Yeah, but if I don't understand it, I won't be held accountable." We will be held accountable. And that's why we come to the table week after week after week. We are accountable for all of our sins. And we have seen the glory of God in Christ. And it is after the resurrection. So as you come again today, whatever your particular sins are, you and God know what they are. Bring them all. Jesus died for all of them. And when we place the bread in your hands and say, "The body of Christ given for you," and the blood of Christ shed for you. You remind yourself that Jesus died to forgive your sins. I am forgiven. And then as you walk back, you need to know that you are still held accountable for all that you say and do in Jesus' name. And so Wednesday, as we begin our walk to the cross in our season of Lent, every Sunday we take a break from the solemnity of Lent, and every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection. And we will come back again to hear the good news of what God has done after we've been challenged about our particular sins. But it is what God does. He loves us, all of us sinners. So we can come freely to receive the forgiveness that Jesus has won for us. The veil has been removed for us. Amen? Hallelujah? And amen. Oh, you Lutherans are getting better. I think I've said all I need to say this morning. So may God bless His word. May God continue to unveil His truth for us. And may we continue to celebrate the life we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.